And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we pray now that you would unstop our ears, make ready our hearts, prepare our souls to receive a word from you. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, come and speak now to us in this place, this day, we pray. Amen. There's a story that I enjoy telling at weddings. It's the story of a couple long married as they settle down for the evening. The wife says to the husband of many years, "Do you remember? Do you remember when we were young and in love, how you used to hold my hand? Interlocking fingers, and I knew that you loved me." Well, slowly but surely, he reached out his somewhat arthritic hand and reached for hers, and they interlocked their fingers. I think the youth call it waffling these days. They waffled their fingers together. Thinking she was getting somewhere, she tried again. "Do you remember? Do you remember when we were young, how you used to snuggle up next to me and hold me tight?" I think it's called spooning maybe these days. I don't know. At the time, they snuggled up tight. Well, a little irritably, creak and groan, he moved his body until he nestled up close to hers. Now really thinking she was getting somewhere, she said, "Do you remember? Do you remember how when we were young, you used to whisper sweet nothings in my ear and nibble on my earlobe?" Rather abruptly, the sheets go flying back. He lurches out of the bed and stumbles towards the bathroom. A little bit hurt and worried, she, "Well, where are you going?" "To get my teeth," he says. One thing to be holding hands snuggled up tight and whispering sweet nothings when there's candles lit and sweet perfume in the air and love is fresh and young. It's another thing when you really can't hear anymore and there's no candles, the room's scented with Bengay, and you have to get up to get your teeth. Do you remember when? Do you remember when you first thought this person might be the one? Do you remember back when you thought this would be a good idea to get married, to stand in front of God and your family and pledge till death do us part? Do you remember? Those are questions I love to ask of almost any couple, but particularly when couples come to see me who maybe are facing challenge or stress, there is a notion of an invitation to remember when, to think back. Because the reality is, friends, covenant relationships of any kind are difficult at best. It's difficult to be in deep relationship where one gives oneself completely over to the other, whether that's a holy friendship, relationship between husband and wife, our relationship with God. Covenant relationship is hard. Sometimes when I think about the image of marriage, what comes to mind is God as a mad scientist. God in the lab taking men from Mars and women from Venus. "I got an idea. I'll take all of this life experience and past story and way of seeing the world and strong opinion and a completely different life experience and perspective and family of origin and way of seeing the world, and I'll mix them together in the lab and see what happens. Bada bing, bada boom." And sometimes it is boom, and yet paradoxically, it is also the most beautiful way I've experienced it in this world. In some sense, when we were young and thinking of getting married, there was a sense it couldn't get any better. And yet the reality is, some 15 years in, it gets better every day. That doesn't mean it's always easy, but I'm more fully known and more fully loved with each passing day. The power of covenant relationship. This idea comes that, hey, we should enter into union with one another and with God. You get married and there's a honeymoon and everything is wonderful. And then life comes at you fast. A job or a career or maybe children come along and you're trying to remember who's getting who from where. The most difficult thing in my life right now is scheduling who's getting kid, what kid where, and remembering where to get them. Life comes fast. And then there's aging parents and there's health issues and there's job changes. And, well, it can be easy for one to forget, to lose sight of, to grow apart from. My wife and I have a beautiful mentor in marriage, this couple that has blessed us richly in life, and they're long ahead of us on this journey, and they lovingly say to one another and often to us, they've been married 50 plus years, they say, "Well, the truth is, some decades have been better than others." It's good perspective. Do you remember when? Perhaps the Pixar movie Up, if you remember that movie, captures this sentiment really in a way that I'm trying to say this day. If you recall the movie, it's brilliant in the sense that it's really mostly about how Carl continues on after his wife Ellie dies. But there's this scene in the movie where he's looking through the scrapbook of their life together, and there's this beautiful Alan Jackson song that's set in the background, Remember When. Some of the lyrics. Remember when I was young and so were you, and time stood still, and love was all we knew. Remember when we vowed the vows and walked the walk, we gave our hearts, made the start. It was hard. We lived, we learned, and life threw curves. There was joy, and there was hurt. And then this line, really, and life in a blink was changed. It was disassembled. It was rearranged. We came together, we fell apart, and broke each other's hearts. And then the song as it moves through, then we brought back the love. We found trust and vowed we would never give it up. I think that song gets at the essence of all covenant relationship, what it means to be deeply in love with someone else, to give oneself fully over to the other and to experience life together with the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. And this week as I sat with this text from Isaiah, it was as if I could almost imagine God singing this song to God's people. Remember when? Because isn't that the pattern of the relationship, the covenant relationship between us and God? God and us? Remember when creation was young, and so were you? Time stood still in that garden of paradise, and love was all we knew. Remember when we vowed the vows and walked the walk? I hear in Exodus God saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. We gave our hearts. We made the start. Sure, it was hard living and learned and life through curves. There was great joy and there was hurt. There were moments when life was changed, disassembled, rearranged. We came together and fell apart. Certainly moments when we break God's heart. But God brings back the love, invites us to remember again. We find trust and vow we never give up again. Can you hear it? Can you hear God singing that song to God's people? It starts so well in the garden, does it not? There's this pattern I want you to catch. It starts so well in the garden, this meteoric sort of relationship between God and God's people, and then tragedy, trauma, you name it, happens, and we fall away. God's love remains steadfast, but we fall away, and there's consequence of that brokenness. But God never gives up on us, and God then declares God's going to do a new thing, invites us into relationship to begin again, a pattern that repeats itself over and over again in Scripture. We began in the garden. We eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God sets us free. We end up in bondage. God brings us through the waters, through the land which God has promised, and we turn away and our love fails. God brings us back. That pattern repeats and repeats. And it's at the forefront of our text for the morning. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are accounting for how our love has failed, how God's people have turned away, the brokenness of the relationship between God and God's people. It's around 587 BC, to set the context. People of God have broken covenant with God, and in consequence, the Babylonians have invaded. You talk about something being changed, disassembled, and rearranged. The temple has been destroyed. The holy place where God's people gather and worship has been completely decimated. Their homes have been destroyed, and they've been marched off in exile. And it seems like all is lost. After a beautiful beginning, a coming together again, there's this tragedy and trauma and a falling away. But God does not give up on God's people. God declares, and this shift, if you get to Isaiah chapter 40 and beyond, there's this significant shift in God's tone and temperament, as if God says that season is over now, and it's time to begin again. It's time to move forward with a new thing. In the beginning of chapter 43, we didn't read it this morning, but the such beautiful voice of God, now says the Lord who created you, who formed you, do not fear, for I am redeeming you, calling you by name. When you pass through waters, a clear reference to the bringing out from the Exodus, bringing out from bondage in Egypt, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God. And then these lines, you are precious in my sight, honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. We move forward into verse 16, and we hear Thus says the Lord, who made a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down and they cannot rise. They're extinguished and quenched like a wick. What do we hear in that? But the echo of the Exodus being brought out through the River Jordan. It parts. The people of God are brought through. And then the waters overwhelm the chariots of Egypt behind them. God saying, remember when? Remember back then? Remember when we were young and we were in love and all love was all we knew? God saying, remember how I brought you out. God's mighty and beautiful acts. And then this pivot in verse 18. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. For I'm about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I'm about to make a way in the wilderness and put rivers in the desert. Maybe colloquially, God saying, hey, y'all, watch this. I'm about to do a new thing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Remember when? Don't remember the former things. What's God in one breath saying, remember when? Do not remember the former things. What? Maybe it's not an either or. Maybe it's a both and. Maybe it's a remembering the good and pulling it forward, all that God has done and all of God's faithfulness, but not getting mired and bound down that in the way that you can't move forward. But God about to do a new thing and begin again. You hear the pattern? You see how God is moving with the relationship with God, with God's people? And the pattern continues into the New Testament, does it not? Jesus, born into the world, begins his public ministry, his baptism. He begins to teach and preach, and the disciples come. They give up everything to follow him. The kingdom begins breaking in. Thousands are gathered around to hear him preach. They're teaching and they're healing. And then what? Comes this horrible tragedy and trauma. Jesus crucified, dead, and buried. And it looks like all is lost, that the worst has happened. How do they ever begin again? The disciples are confused, and then comes this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And what is it? But a fresh new beginning. God saying, I am doing a new thing. And some 3,000 gather around to be baptized, to join in that number. God saying, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And the pattern repeats and repeats all the way through. This past week, we've, the vision facilitation team, been engaging and digging through the history of Christ United Methodist Church. And it's coming to me that there's a similar pattern, that it repeats even in the life of the church. There's this beautiful beginning. We broke it out last week, but this week in the vision facilitation team on Monday night, as we were digging through the photos and remembering some of the original members, Steve Sharp, Dion Roach, Julie Welch, and some others around the table, began remembering when. They began saying, in effect, remember when we were young and time stood still and love was all we knew? Remember when we vowed the vows and walked the walk? We gave our hearts to God and to this community of faith. We made the start. Sure, it was hard. We lived and learned. There was great joy. Oh, it was great to hear them start reminiscing about the way that the early church here in Southern Village began. They started telling stories about hoot nannies and polkas and all kinds of newlywed games and dances. They were trying to form community together. And the notion was that you did not want to miss. When the community gathered, it was the place where you belonged. People knew you by name. And what was intriguing to me, I wasn't here for that history, but to watch their joy as they were remembering, as they were thinking back, yeah, that's why we did this. That's God's dream for this place. Look at what God did. Look at how God stirred up among us this great thing. It was great joy in glimpsing their remembering when. And yet, dear friends, today we also pause and acknowledge this similar pattern that in our history as a church, there, after this great meteoric ascent, there comes this moment where there's tragedy and trauma and the death of a beloved founding pastor. We name it, and it's in our history and our DNA. There comes a moment when things are suddenly changed, disassembled, and rearranged, where it seems like everything has fallen apart. We move through and try to find our way forward, only to have a second trauma repeated upon us. We struggle and we try to find our way forward. But here's what I will tell you, I hear out of everything I've been reading and all the history that's been shared with me. I don't know that there is another church out there that has the resiliency and the faithfulness that I see exhibited in this place. I've only been among you for 7 months. And I've heard the story and the history repeated, but what I hear out of that and I glean out of that is a resiliency and a faithfulness that said, God has a dream for this place and we're not letting it go. We're partnering with God, and yes, God is going to do a new thing among us yet again. A God who is faithful and steadfast and never gives up on us. And I trust that the stirring of the Spirit now in this visioning process is saying, remember the former things. Remember them for the good. We're not writing a whole new story and building a whole new church. God's saying, think back. Remember when. Glean the good. And then God's saying, but don't stay in that place. Don't stay mired down or stuck. But perceive this new thing that I'm about to do. Where God's going to make a way in the wilderness where there isn't a way. Where there's going to be rivers and streams in the desert and a dry land. God will spring forth water. God's saying, hold on, y'all. You ain't seen nothing yet. Watch this. As a God who will not give up on us. And that's where you come in. That's the work that God has for us as a people. I'm about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? This sermon has an actionable impact at the end, a part for you to play. I hope you found in your order of worship today this blue congregational feedback. I'm going to invite you to pull that out. And here in a moment, we're going to transition in some time for you to fill this out. This is part of how you help us perceive the new thing that God is doing. There's opportunity to help us gauge where things stand as of now and your sense of them. And on the backside, it's more open-ended for you to help us dream about the new thing that God is doing. But before you fill it out, hold on. I know how it is. You put a test in a child's hand and they're trying to figure it out and turn it in before you ever finished. But hang on for just a second, because I think this is essential for us to hear. We're going to sing today at the end of the service one of my favorite hymns. It's entitled, This is a Day of New Beginnings, a Time to Remember and a Time to Move On. There's a line in there that says, there comes a time for us to leave behind our past disappointments, guilt, and grieving in order that we might be freed up to this new thing that God is doing. Oh God, our help in ages past, remember when? Our hope for years to come. Oh God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to know, oh God, that the best days of Christ United Methodist Church are ahead of us. Help us to know, God, that you've got mighty dreams. Help us to know you've not given up on us. Take that resiliency and that faithfulness and launch us forward. Oh God, you're doing a new thing. Give us eyes to see it, that we might faithfully claim your preferred future for Christ United Methodist Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Music's going to begin behind us. We're going to give you some time to fill this out. I recognize that some people work in different ways. If you don't finish it today, I hope you'll leave it here. And when you're finished, I hope you'll bring it, and we'll cover this altar and these hopes and dreams for the future of God. So when you finish it, bring it forward. If for some reason you don't finish it, and you want to take some more time, that's okay. You can take it with you and bring it back next Sunday. We'll send it out electronically as well so friends who aren't with us can participate. We hope that everybody will join us in this good work. When you finish it today, bring it forward, place it here on the altar, and we'll offer them to God as we dream together God's new dream. Let us begin our time of discernment of the new thing that God is doing. Amen.